Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, December 12th, 2021. Pastor Zone is speaking. Today's message is called Good News from Isaiah. Our text comes to us from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And now, Pastor Zone.
So here we go. We got Christmas. We just got through with Thanksgiving, and we thank the Lord for how God has blessed us and provided for us all. To my knowledge, no one in the church family went without something. We did our best to make sure that everybody was taken care of. And now we're facing Christmas. And again, it is November and December and also January where people in the world feel really down and is the highest rate of suicides in our country. And I pray that this Christmas season you will be enlightened by the Lord and that you will find peace to resolve the issues that we all face all the time. That the Lord is the answer to every problem that you and I have, if we're willing to accept his answers, of course. So I've been reading through the month, last month, the beginning of this month, some of the passages from the Old Testament that point to Christmas, and there's so many of them. But today we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And these are a great passage in the Old Testament that help us to understand maybe the really meaning of Christmas, what Christmas can do for you and what Christmas can do for me. And we are people of the Advent, and Advent means the coming of the Lord. And we can't not be people that are not expecting the Lord to come into our lives in a new, mysterious, divine, and powerful way. Christmas lends itself for the surprise of our lives. How many would like to be surprised by God in your life, huh? And he does that. That's what he does. So in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, let us read as it comes in the screen. It says, Nevertheless, everybody say it. Nevertheless, thank you. All right. There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. We should just stop there and just get on our knees and thank God, huh? Because this is the promise of Christmas, to take away, you know, the distress and the gloom that we accumulate as human beings. Well, in the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Even warriors' boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let me read that last phrase. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. May God bless the reading of his word. I like Christmas for many reasons. I suppose all of us like Christmas for several reasons. But this passage tells me that Christmas is a time of surprises. It is a time of the unexpected becoming truth. It tells me something so special that God would come surprisingly in the moment of greatest defeat and change everything around for us. There's a couple of things I'd like to say today. First of all, we all have experienced gloom and doom. And our country and the whole world has been, for the last 2 years at least, the worst news of the world. And the media has helped us to understand that there is a pandemic going on, and that if you just step outside the door, you may catch it and die. And the gloom and the doom, it's unbelievable. We have never seen anything like this, at least not in our lifetime. I was told by a pastor that just the other day on one of our classes that half of his church disappeared, and the other half are trickling in, you know, coming in, just trickling in. And the churches has faced very difficult times, and the world faces difficult times. But here is a passage of scripture that says that God come so that he will remove the gloom and doom of our lives. And we all walk in shadows. We all walk in difficult moments in life. We all go through trials, tribulations. We all sometimes wonder, what is life all about? We live in ambiguity often. Sometimes we just don't know what the next day will bring about. But this is what Christmas is all about. He comes to us because we're in distress. He comes to you and to me because he knows that we are going through a very difficult time in our lives. Times that we question, times that we wonder how in the world this has come upon me, and even will this ever leave me? Will I ever be free from this yoke, this oppression, this pain, this difficulty in my life? And the amazing thing is how it comes to you and how it comes to me. Because you see, we often think that God reveals himself in the powerful places. That God reveals himself in places like the palace, in places of authority, in places high in society. And the marvelous thing about scripture is that we always find that God cares for each one of us so special. We are so special to him that rank and position in this world is absolutely meaningless to God's hand of deliverance. This passage says something that it just shook everybody up, because verse 1 tells us very clearly, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. In other words, all of a sudden, God reveals himself and shows up in Galilee. Shows up, well, let's see. Somebody said, can anything good come out of Nazareth of Galilee? Out of nowhere, where you least expect it, God shows up. He shows up on the other side of the barrio. He shows up in the other side of the ghetto. He shows up on the other side of economic values. He shows up not necessarily in the rich class or the middle class. He shows up with the poor people. Not that he's not with the other ones, but he shows up among the poor, and he walks with the poor, and he speaks to the poor, and he heals the poor, and the brokenhearted, and those who are sick, and those who are blind, and those who are lame, those who are going through horrific times. That's where God shows up. How does he show up? We know the story of Bethlehem. Of course we do. There was no pecking order in that society. Of course there was. When the Magi wanted to find Jesus, they went right to the king, you know, and Herod says, I don't know what you're talking about. He was born in a manger. He didn't show up at the king's palace. He showed up in a manger. He had no place of his own. Yeah, and you know, and as we read scripture, we find out that he was born of the Virgin Mary. Look, in our terms, this is how it is. She was a pregnant woman with no husband, with no money, and with a kid that was born in a stable. Hello? Nobody could even dream that that child born in that condition would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You have no idea the power that God has over our lives. If we were just to give ourselves to him and say, Lord, work in my circumstance. He knows all about circumstances. He was one circumstance himself. The stigma of Jesus, where they would look at him and they would say he had no father. You know all the story about it. Call him a bastard. Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, uncommon person, very simple, just a carpenter from Nazareth. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He walked among those who needed the most, and he understood what was going on in the hearts and in the minds of people. He did not dress himself as a king. He came just as a human being. He was the God-man himself. I just can't fathom it. None of us really can. He came and he was of low respect, very low, very low. He was very weak, very vulnerable. He was rejected. He was despised. This is where you find the Lord in our lives. When we walked as he walked. When we feel what he felt. God doesn't sit just with the mighty and the powerful. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But when he came to this earth, he humbled himself and took the form of a man. He became man. And see, this is the issue in your life and in my life. Though you and I may be going through shadows, and we may be going through doubts, and we may question just ourselves, who we are and what do we do. We may wonder, when will this pass over? When will this be healed? When will this be fixed? Listen, the Lord is there. The Lord is with the brokenhearted. The Lord is with the disappointed one. He experienced pain. And I'm telling you, he did that when he came to this earth. And today, he's our high priest who knows how to feel our infirmities and knows how you and I feel and is able to answer and to save to the uttermost. There is nothing that this Christmas can do that but surprise you with his presence in your life. Oh yeah, a lot more to say. Because see, this is the thing. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. But what does he do when he comes? Verse 2 tells us the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This is what Christmas is about. Jesus is the ultimate light. Jesus brings light, clarity to you, to me. Clarity in your family. Clarity with your children, with your parents, with your daughter, with your son, with your husband, with your wife. With your grandpa, grandma, I got to put him in there. Brings clarity of thought and clarity of purpose. The light of God comes and shines upon us. I try to listen to 2-3 sermons a week. And that's just for to nurture myself and get some ideas. And I picked one up that I've got to share with you. Did you know that our son is dying? Some millions of years from today, there will be no sun shining. Did you know that that sun that we receive energy and life is actually dying? And there was an article that was written that said that if our sun was to suddenly die, in 24 hours, all of us, you and me, would be in frozen land. And within a week, everything will be zero land. And oxygen would be depleted. And it will not be that long that everything will be frozen solid and will all be gone. That's how light is important. Why light is so important. Why the sun is so important to our system, to our world. Well, when I read verse 2 again, he says, they have seen a great light. It's a great light in the midst of a death shadow. Ha! Huh. Did you know that we are all in a death shadow? Because the sun is the one that gives us light. But that sun is dying. Somebody, if you don't think that things are dying, just leave the roast or the turkey after it's cooked, put it on top of the table, and walk away for about 5 hours. Come back and touch it. It's going to be cold. Come back the following day. It's going to look strange. Come back in just 4 days, and you will begin to smell something. The decay. We're decaying because the sun is dying. We need some light that doesn't decay, and that is Jesus in our life, giving us the light of life. I know what I'm saying, because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need the ultimate light, and that's what came in Christmas, a light that comes upon you and me that never runs out. It is an everlasting light. You probably did not know this, but when you read Genesis chapter 1, what was the first thing that the Lord said? The Lord God, the Father, well, I'll read it to you. That way you know. I mean, I memorized it, but I like to read it directly. That way you know that I'm telling you the truth. I'm not fibbing. Verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Look at verse 2. And God said, let there be what? You sure? Look at verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. He first gave us light, and then he made the sun. There is a sun that comes to you, which is natural, but it decays, it's dying. But there's a light that comes upon you and upon me through Jesus Christ that is an eternal light. When you go to the book of Revelations, you find what? That there will be the sun and the stars, but we will have no need of the sun. We will have no need of the stars. We will have no needs of the moon. Because God will be there and he will be our light. Amen. And it is that light that comes. It is the light that comes at Christmas that adorns us and strengthens us and gives us vitality in the midst of our shadows, in the midst of our incongruences. In the midst of the difficulties, there's a light that comes upon you and upon me. The light of Jesus Christ. The light that comes to you. The ultimate light comes at Christmas time. In Revelations, we will have that ultimate light. We will never again need the sun, nor the stars, nor the moon, because he will be our light, and he's our light today. Now, let me move towards conclusion. Verse 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The very person of God, God himself incarnate, God becomes man. And everything we ever wanted to have in life resides in this light, which is Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. Those who believe in him will not stumble, will not fall. We will be guided properly. There will be steps that we can take and understanding on our ways that surpasses all the human understanding that you and I could manufacture or produce. So Jesus Christ comes, and he comes as the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He walks through this earth. He serves God. Let your will be done, not mine. In Gethsemane, he weeps and he cries. He goes to the cross. He dies for you and for me. And when you look at Jesus, who resurrects from the dead and brings his church to a place of mission and commission and sends us to preach the word, to let them know that that light has come and that light is in him. There are only three things you can do with the message of the church, the message of Jesus Christ. You cannot just like Jesus. You cannot say, oh, he's my pet today. Jesus is nobody's pet. But some people look at Jesus and they just want to like Jesus. He's nice. Oh, he's good. He's got good things. No, you either hate Jesus because of what he stands, because he is the one. He is the one and nobody else, but he is the one. He is the truth. He's the life. He's the one that gives you life perspective. He's the one that gives you life eternal. He's the one that sustains you. Jesus Christ is it. There's no other name given to you and to me that we may be saved. Jesus Christ, you have to either say, I hate you, because we hate Jesus because he intervenes in our life and tells us the jig is up. He comes to your life and my life and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And everything else, bunch of liars, thieves, they're here, they've come to destroy you, but I've come that you may have life and life abundantly. So you can't just like Jesus. You either hate him, other people fear him, and some worship him. And you and I have learned the truth that we come to Christmas to worship him. When we give our hearts to him, when we give of ourselves to him and say, I worship you, Lord, because you are the light of my life, the everlasting light. You bring to me what I could never find anywhere else. So, you say, really? Yes. How? Well, let me tell you. He comes to this world, and you and I need to not just, well, we need to worship him, but how do you worship him? He's a gift. He's the gift of Christmas. He's a gift to you and to me. And that gift, by definition, has to be accepted for it to be functional. Now, it's not easy to accept gifts for some people. It's not. Have you had hard times accepting gifts? Don't buy me a tie, please. I buy my own ties. Don't try to give me a tie. Please, don't do that. Please. If you bought one, give it to somebody. Okay. So if you have a gift and all of a sudden that gift is a book on how to lose weight, it's kind of hard to accept that kind of a gift, you know. Others sometimes receive a gift on how to manage your money, you know, telling you you're a loser. Others will give you a gift of a book on how to make friends and influence people. That's because you're obnoxious. But this is not how the gift comes to you and to me. The gift that Jesus embodies is this light that will flash out the darkness in your life. And it's not a put down, because Christ approaches you from your brokenness, because he was broken. He comes to you not telling you, look how big and strong I am. He comes to you and says, I know your problem. I know your pain. I understand, because I went through it. We have a Christ who suffers, a Christ who bleeds, who dies, who's crucified, who's mocked, who's whipped. The humanity of Christ cannot be denied. I tell you, sometimes we, in our church, I would speak only to our church here. I should say that. I'll speak this basically. If we don't walk with the wounded Christ, we don't know what Christ can do for our lives. We sometimes neglect to identify ourselves with the Christ who bleeds and suffers. We forget the cross. We forget the price he paid so that he would be relevant to you and to me. Relevant, that he understands and is moved with compassion towards you. That he's not ignoring you. He's saying, I know. I went through that. So the gift of Christ, the gift of Christmas, coming, saying, Lord, come into my life. We're asking God's light of life to come. But it's done with love and understanding and caring, embracing you and forgiving you and strengthening you. It's not a put down from God. Say, oh, finally, you made up your mind. That's not the God we serve. That's not the God of the Bible. But we're persuaded, as Hosea says, with cords of love, drawing us towards him because he understands and he knows and he's got the remedy for the darkness of our lives. Well, some gifts are hard to accept, but Christ should not be hard to accept. This Christmas season, if you're walking in darkness, whatever darkness it may be, if you're walking in the shadow of death, if you're walking through disillusionment beyond words, if you're looking at failure in your life in any area, and it does not have to be a desperate situation, it has to be that constant nagging suspicion that something is wrong. You try this, you try that, you're looking for meaning and purpose of life. Christ is the one who will shine upon you, and he will give you the light that is everlasting. And once Christ comes into your life, you will never again trip. That is to say, he will be there to guide you. He will be there to console you. He will be there to strengthen you. I like for this Christmas of 2021 to be your Christmas, the Christmas where you accept the gift of Jesus, to say, you know, Jesus is not coming to me this morning telling me, look, a mess you made of yourself. But he comes to you with open arms and says, I love you. And if you doubt his love, look at the nail prints in his hand. If you doubt his love, look at the side that is bleeding. Look at the cross of Christ where he died for your sins and my sins. Totally unselfish act of God. Totally unselfish because he was doing it for you. He was doing it for me, for the glory of God. So this morning, you need to make a decision in your life. You need to make a decision. You need to decide that Jesus will come to you as light. That Jesus will come to you as the one who takes your sins away. The one who forgives you of all your iniquities. The one who will straighten the path. The one who will give you solace in the time of war. Look, the verses we did not expound. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens you. The bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. There is a deliverance, and there's a power, and there's a magnitude, and there's a force, a God who will break everything that is breaking you and transform you into one of his children. Christmas means a lot to me. It means Jesus, the light of the world. Father, I thank you this Sunday morning because we can decide today whether we're going to hate you, we're going to fear you, or we're going to worship you. But Lord, we're choosing to worship you. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in between those questions of should I accept the gift or not, that we will say, Lord, I accept the gift of eternal life. Forgive my sins, Lord. I repent from my sins. I want the light of Christmas. I want Jesus to come into my life and transform me, to take away the shadow of death, the darkness, and that you would give us a light that is everlasting, that will never, ever fade away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
So a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's a gift. We receive the gift. We receive the Lord. And it says, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Amen.
Whew. That's the Jesus that it's coming into your life today. He is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And he works in your heart in such a way that his government, his power, his authority, there will be no end to what he will be able to do in your life and in my life.
Amen.
Lord, I pray for those who are in need of this prayer. If there's anyone that does not know you here, I pray that this will be the morning of decision and that they will simply pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, walk with me, help me, strengthen me. I want to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord has made. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can go to our Facebook page by clicking on the link below. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week, and Merry Christmas.
Come, they told me. Baby, for the king, ba-rum-bum-bum. My dream.